Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you, one that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation and diversion for you and your family. Did you fail to dress up for tonight's show? No tie, an old shirt and slacks, a house dress? Well, don't give it a thought. We're glad you came as you are. We just want you to enjoy yourselves. Don't forget to visit our refreshment center during the intermission or any time. You love the tasty array of snacks we have to offer. So will the youngsters. Everything is quality and so good. We hope you'll make this a weekly visit. Bring the family. Bring your friends.
Bring your dog or he may hoot at you. Good evening. Welcome to Erie House Radio Drive-In Theater. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, one of your ushers. And let me ush in.
Dave Baker from Wendy's Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And yet another usher tonight, or at least momentarily is.
I actually was an usher once. It is I, Garthago, and we'll have way for you all. And please keep your house dress on.
You have ushed.
How long
I
did that last?
I got to work maintenance and make popcorn in at the Parma Theater, Dave, back in the mid-'80s. I was going through my divorce and supplemented my DJ income by working at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Until things got straightened out a little bit. And assets were fairly split.
And you became allergic to buttered popcorn at that time. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'll never be allergic to, especially slab on the butter. Oh, yeah. Grease it up real good. And I'm ready to roll.
Yep. Keep that button pouring that butter.
Oh, yeah. I can bathe in it.
I have to admit, guys, I found something very disturbing. All those years, and we called it the pigskin. It's not made with a pigskin. It's a cowhide. And
it's
I found this. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm astonished. It's cowhide.
It's cowhide. And, it takes about 600 cows to make one full season's worth of NFL footballs.
Jeez.
And Ohio has a connection to all those footballs as the Wilson Sporting Goods Company in Ada, Ohio. That's over by Lima, by 71. It has been the official football supplier for the NFL since 1941. They make more than 2 million footballs of all sorts every year. But here's where the disappointment comes in for the cows. Mm-hmm. It was just here. Where did it go? Where did it go? I can't see this till I have the proper numbers, I'll bring that up in a minute when I find the proper numbers here. So, we just keep going until I find that. I just had it in my hand. Oh, there it is. A cow has only one in 17,420,000 chance in becoming an NFL football that is used in the Super Bowl. There you go.
But they have a heck of a good chance of being on my plate. All right. It's awful. It's awful.
Yeah. Medium rare, if you please.
Dave, that's not the only tie Ohio has to the great game of American football. And the National Football League Hall of Fame is very near your area of the woods in the Canton area. And the subject of tonight's movie/radio program, Knute Rockne, or Newt, actually spent a summer as a lifeguard in 1913 at Cedar Point.
Right. That's where he met his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
And they got married in Canton, Ohio, which, again, is further down south. She must have been from the Canton area, which, again, is on 224, just off 224 again, over by seven, not far from 71.
Yep. Well known as a one of the greatest coaches in college football history, but he was also a player early on.
Yep, but he really was mostly known as a great motivator and college coach until the plane went down.
Yes, and ended his life prematurely at the age of 43, sadly. But he's also involved with the origination of the old expression, let's win one for the Gipper.
Yep, yep. And I think that's where tonight's story comes from as well, I believe.
Yeah, so without being a spoiler, I'm not going to get too much into that part of it. Who do we have starring in tonight's movie / radio program?
Oh, good. I didn't check the part. I know we got Ronald Reagan who starred in the movie. I'm not sure who was in the Lux Radio. I thought it was the same guy. And you thought it was Edmund O'Brien? Probably is. I thought it was Pat O'Brien. I confuse those two guys a lot. So,
well, Ronald Reagan in the movie played Gip, which the saying is about. I don't want to play too much of a spoiler in case it gets into the intrinsic parts of tonight's program.
Is there a monkey named Bonzo involved?
No,
Bonzo. He was not the mascot in this particular movie.
Bonzo did not go to Notre Dame.
I have something, but I'm out. Never mind. Okay.
Correct.
Never mind.
It was a political slogan used by Ronald Reagan as the Gipper. So, part of
I recall.
History there. Well, he's good. He's old. He's Bob. He's joined us here live in the chat. Thanks, good old Bob. Hugga to you too, sir. As the saying goes.
Yeah, I looking over his record at Notre Dame, because he did coach before he was there, but he never had a losing season. His first season when he took over, he was 3-1-2, two ties. What is this? Other than that, 9-0, 9-0, 10-1, 8-1-1, 9-1, 10-0 in winning the Rose Bowl, 7-2-1, 9-1, 7-1-1, 5-4. 9-0, 10-0. He had a record at Notre Dame of 105-12 in five ties.
That's amazing. It's amazing that there's five ties.
Yeah. Yeah. It just really, you don't hear much about ties in the NFL or in college for that matter. I don't think in college they allow you to end in a tie anymore. That's why they have this strange overtime rule in college where each team gets the ball once. If they score, come out with the same score, then they go out back at it again, each team getting the ball once, until one scores more than the other one in an overtime.
Yeah.
That's Ohio State won in three overtimes for the national championship the first time there was a playoff for the national championship just a few years back.
I prefer sudden death over time.
I prefer that after they've each had a chance to score. If one guy wins the toss and they go down and they kick a field goal, that's not right that they win the game.
True.
You know, but
In a way, you're right, Dave, but in a way, it's like your defense or your tacklers on a kickoff or something like that. They should have done what they needed to do.
Yeah, well, I understand, but if you're going to talk about a fair part to it, I think what they do is all right. Although, instead of declaring a certain amount of time, it's just a single possession each time in college now. That is, I guess, okay. You know, the NFL rule is a little crazy, too, because
It is, but I can live with it because I do see your point that each team should at least get to touch the ball.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if winning would be like magic.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
Trying to time this right, you know? It's like timing that bump on the road while your wife's putting lipstick on in the car.
and just as the Super Bowl has a halftime show, at our halftime in between after the second, I have a little halftime show for our listeners. I'm looking forward to sharing that. What's that?
The kitty safe?
Yes,
it's going to be safe for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to have a wardrobe malfunction or.
No. There's no wardrobe malfunctions in here.
Right. Okay, good.
And when we get to it, I'll give it a quick brief intro, and then we're going to let it run. It's a fun little bit I did several years back, and it'll be our halftime show.
That is a strange thing, but the halftime show at some point almost became more important than the game.
In college, they were great. It was rather lavish as opposed to the NFL. I remember as a kid, the college people would put on tremendous shows, the marching bands and so forth.
Yeah.
Right. But no, I was talking about like commercialization, the huge monetary numbers they were kicking out for the Super Bowl halftime thing. That was crazy.
And it wasn't until just recently, I think, that they weren't even paying the artist to do this, the Pepsi halftime show. They finally are going to pay them something because they figure, well, you're getting all the exposure and everybody go on to Spotify and all these things and you'll sell more of your songs and things like that. I think that was their thinking behind it, which means we just did this because we're nonprofit and we're putting all that money in our pockets, which we're not doing because we're nonprofit.
Right. the politics of football. Let's go ahead and take a look back in time at one of the all-time greats with this presentation from Lux Radio Theater, hence the drive-in tonight, with Newt Rockne, All-American, originally broadcast.
Yep. December 2nd, 19th. You got it? I got it, if you don't got it.
No, go ahead, Dave.
I got December 2nd, 1940.
Ooh. Huh.
I agree.
Presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Pat O'Brien, Ronald Reagan, Donald Crisp, and Fay Wray in Canute Rockne, All-American. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. The tang of coming winter is in the air. The smoke of burning leaves is the perfume of the season. And during the past few weeks, millions of Americans have made their traditional weekly pilgrimage to the football fields of the nation. Thankful this year, as never before, that such peaceful battles are still theirs for the asking. Every school and college in the land has its gridiron great, heroes of fact more thrilling than fiction. But the greatest of them all was Canute Rockne. His name is a symbol of the American will to win, but win or lose, to play the game the American way. Tonight in Canute Rockne All-American, you'll hear the true life drama of the beloved Notre Dame coach, played by Pat O'Brien, who is starring in the same role in Warner Brothers' great screen success. Pat's performance in the picture is earning the combined cheers of screen and football fans. And with him tonight, we have Ronald Reagan and Donald Crisp, also of the picture cast, and Fay Wray. Canute Rockne was a good deal more than just a coach to his players, so there's a good deal more to his story than just football. It's the saga of a hard-driving fighter who made life always exciting, of the woman he loved and the adventures they shared. It's our answer to your many letters requesting this play, letters we're glad to answer. we get a particular thrill out of letters like this one from a lady in Wisdom, Montana, a town of prophetic name. She writes, "I want to thank you for giving us such grand plays in the Lux Radio Theater every Monday night. We live in the Rocky Mountains, miles from anywhere, and it's a treat for us to hear such wonderful programs. You know, I used to think that Lux Flakes were too expensive to use on a ranch, where there are endless dishes and clothes to be washed. But I found I was wrong. They're really economical." Then she proves she's thrifty by adding, "I buy Lux Flakes by the case, so I'm never without it." Words of wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, from Wisdom, Montana. But now for some action, not Notre Dame. We raise the curtain on Act One of Knute Rockne, All-American, starring Pat O'Brien as Knute Rockne, Fay Wray as Bonnie Rockne, Ronald Reagan as George Gipp, and Donald Crisp as Father Callahan. In 1892, Lars Rockne and his family left their home in Voss, Norway. Among millions like themselves, simple, hard-working people from the old countries, they followed the new road of equality and opportunity that led to America. It was in the city of Chicago that Knute Rockne grew up. Like other boys of his age, Knute was often sent to the store. Like other boys, Knute was often hours late in returning.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, and still he is not home. Master, that boy is never here for dinner on time yet.
Good evening, Papa.
Ah, here he is now, Lars.
Knute, where have you been and what have you been doing?
Outside playing the most wonderful game in the world. It's called football.
Knute, your nose is bleeding.
Is it? Somebody stepped on it. I guess that's part of the game.
Tell him, spiel it. Where's Slag Spiel as he's under your talking on Asia?
Oh, Papa, don't talk Norwegian. Talk American. We're all Americans now.
In 1910, Knute Rockne entered Notre Dame. He was older than the other students of his class. He was 25, and his rugged frame showed evidence of the hard years of work he'd put in to earn the money for his education. Those years were not wasted. Knute was a junior in 1913 when Father Callahan, the president of Notre Dame, summoned him to his office.
Come in, Rock.
Morning, Father Callahan. Father Newland.
Hello, Knute.
Here, have a seat.
Thank you.
Now, just relax, Knute. I've got nothing on you this time.
Oh.
Knute, you have only one more year to go for your degree.
I hope so.
You've made a fine record in the past 3 years. Honor man in your class, and next fall you'll be captain of football. That's a very rare combination.
Thank you, Father.
Dr. Newland here tells me you've got the best brain for chemistry of any man in his class.
I guess it must be a pretty dumb class.
No. You have a definite talent for science, Knute. There's going to be a great future for men like you in the next few years.
That's a great compliment coming from you, Father Newland.
Wait until you hear the rest of it.
Knute, I want you to help me this summer. Stay here as my assistant, with pay. As you know, I'm trying to perfect a new formula for synthetic rubber, and I need a good man to check my experiment.
Well, I don't know just what to say, Father. There must be 100 men who'd fight for the chance to work with you.
Then you'll stay.
Well, I'd like to, and I appreciate it, you understand, but... Well, you see, Father, Gus DeRay and I have just signed up for the summer at Cedar Point to work as lifeguards.
Lifeguards? That's no work for a man with your intelligence.
You're passing up a great opportunity, Knute.
Oh, I realize that, Father. Maybe next year...
I'm not interested in next year. My work won't wait. I picked you out because I thought you had some brains.
But you see, I promised Gus...
He promised Gus. Knute, I could make a first-class scientist of you inside of 10 years. That's what you were born to be anyway, you big Swede.
Who can say for certain what a man was really born to be, Father Newland? That's God's will, not ours. Someday Knute will find his right place in the world. And whether it be science or not, I have a feeling it would be the one thing he was meant to do. Of course, Knute... I don't suppose you and Dore would be taking a football along to Cedar Point by any chance?
Well, we kind of figured we'd kick it around the beach a little. Yeah.
And I'm trying to make a chemist out of him.
All right, toss it, Gus.
Right at you.
That's the stuff.
What do you say we rest a while, huh?
Nice passing, Gus.
Say, Rock. Did you see the Tribune this morning?
I haven't seen a newspaper in 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you'd stop mooning around Bonnie Skiles like a lovesick calf, you might learn some news.
Oh, stop, will you? What news?
Notre Dame's playing Army this fall.
The Army? When? Where?
At West Point, November. The paper says they've got the greatest team in history with three All-Americans. We'll get a nice little trip back east, but they'll probably tear us apart.
Is that so?
Oh, don't be a sap, Rock. The Army will outweigh us 20 pounds to the man. We couldn't lick him if we took a shotgun along.
All right, we'll take a shotgun.
Oh, you ought to wear a hat, Rock. The sun's beginning to get you.
Listen, Gus, this game means a lot to Notre Dame. It's our first big chance, don't you see that?
Yeah, it's big, all right, but so is a freight train.
Gus, we're going to beat them. Big as they are, we're going to beat them. No, don't laugh. I got an idea. Those eastern teams like the Army are all power, knock you down and run over you like a steamroller. Well, if you can't go around a steamroller, maybe you can go over it. No team has ever used the forward pass as the major threat of its offense. Consequently, no team has had a good defense against it. We're going to pass the Army, Gus. We're going to pass them, Dizzy.
Rock, if it works, it'll make history.
All right, let's stack them making history. Come on, you're quarterback. I'm at end. Come on, let's get the hang of it. I'll cut in sharp. Now let me have it.
Here she comes, Rock.
That's it. That's it.
It's a beautiful night, isn't it?
Yeah, great.
We won't have many more like it, Canute. The summer's nearly over.
That's right, Bunny.
You're going back to Notre Dame next week, and I'm going home, and...
Yep.
We won't be seeing each other again for a long time.
That's right, Bonnie. Not next Christmas vacation. I'll tell you what I'll do, Bonnie. I'll spend a week with the family in Chicago and the rest of it with you folks. How's that?
Oh, that'll help. Till June.
Oh, Bonnie, I don't know what we're going to do. What we're going to live on after we're married. You're taking an awful chance.
Oh, we'll get along. I can cook and sew, and you'll get a job.
Well, Father Newland seems to think he can make a chemist out of me. He can't be any good at it.
You'd be a success at anything you tried, Canute.
Bonnie, I know I'm not what you'd call a romantic type, but I'll do everything on earth to make you happy. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know it.
There's something else I wanted to tell you tonight, Bonnie.
Yes, Canute?
Gus and I have got a great surprise cooked up for the Army.
Oh.
Bonnie is going to make history. Listen, nobody ever thought of using the forward pass, see? I mean, not the way poor Notre Dame's going to use it, you see? Gus takes the ball from center, like this. He fades back, like this, and I run down the field. Count 10, and now... What's the matter, Bonnie?
Well, go on, Canute. Now, the...
You know, now somebody ought to kick me right square in the seat of the pants. Fellas, let me down, will you? I feel like a fool up here.
Better take it while you can, Rock. You'll never hear this again.
Well, Canute, now that you've graduated with a magna cum laude, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I haven't decided yet, Father. I've had a couple of offers, but...
What kind of offers?
They're not very definite.
To coach football. Is that it?
Oh, yes, in a sort of a way.
I don't know why I'm dumb enough to offer you another job, or why I bothered to look for synthetic rubber when you've got a solid head of it.
Did you say a job, Father Newland?
Maybe I've changed my mind.
Dr. Newland wants you to stay here at Notre Dame and help him teach chemistry. The job doesn't pay very much to start, but he has great hopes for you later on.
I'll take the job and thank you, Father.
Good, good.
You'll start next term, Canute.
There's just one more thing, Father. You don't have any objection to my sort of helping Harper with the football team this fall, do you?
Yes, you're through with football. Get that into your head once and for all.
But it won't take up much time, Father, and the extra money will be a great help to me. You see, I'm planning on getting married.
I knew I should have picked a priest.
I'll only work with the team until I get on my feet. See, you don't think I'm crazy enough to take up coaching as my life work, do you?
Will you hand me that burner, Canute?
There you are, Father.
We'll finish this last test, then perhaps we get some sleep.
That's all right with me.
By the way, the boys tell me you're a good teacher, Canute. They all want to be in your class.
Yes, that's what worries me. I get no respect, none at all.
You'll have respect someday, all you can ever use, if our work here is successful. If we can find the answer, if we can make good rubber cheaply without using gum... A great part of the credit will be yours, Canute.
No, you're the quarterback on this team, Father. I'm just the water boy. Always will be.
You can be anything you want. I've watched you ever since you came to Notre Dame. Since the first day you ask a question in my class.
I guess I was pretty much of a nuisance with my questions, wasn't I, Father?
Yes. That's how I knew you might make a scientist. And you will, Canute. Believe me, I know. You have the brains and the strength. These first few years are the hardest. Just live simply and keep your chin up. We're going to do great things, you and I.
Hello. Father Newland's lab, yes? Yes, this is Mr. Rockney speaking. What? When? Where is she? Yes. Sure, I'll be there right away.
Canute, what is it? What's happened?
It's Bonnie. The baby. It's here. Bonnie. Oh, Bonnie.
Honey. Don't yell. I just got Billy to sleep.
Oh. You want to put this stuff in my hair, Bonnie?
What is it now?
Creosote.
Sit down and keep the towel over your eyes. First it was stair grease. Then something called Old Doc Simpson's Sure Grow Snake Oil. And now it's creosote. I declare you've tried everything on your hair except grass seed.
Well, Joe Byrne says creosote's the best of all.
Well, for telephone poles, maybe. The truth is you've just worried yourself, half-ball.
No, I know, but Bonnie, can't you see a little fuzz coming in right there? See, I can feel it right
That's
there.
That's the fringe on the towel.
Oh.
5 years of coaching football and track without a single day's vacation. When this head of yours gets to look like a watermelon, you needn't expect any sympathy from me.
Maybe I can get some sympathy from these.
Well, what are those?
Travel booklets? Places to go? Pick out one you like.
Oh, Canute, do you mean for us?
Sure. Go wherever you say. That one about Florida looks good to me.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll go into Chicago tomorrow and do some shopping. Florida. When do we leave?
Well, let me see. This is August. Football season starts next month. We can't go right away.
Well, then what about after Thanksgiving?
No, no, no. I've got to attend a coaches conference in Pittsburgh.
Oh, then after Christmas, January. That's the best time in Florida anyway.
No, not for me, Bonnie. I've got to make a talk to those boys at Moose Heart. Then we've got to settle our schedule for next year. The track team starts work in March. That'll take me into July.
And then the football season begins again. I see. Here, you keep these. Next year, turn them in for a new set.
Pairs, the brother Gar has to get ready for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul right after our broadcast at about 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yep, yep. Big game of, for football. Well, he gets in the way so much because of all the extra teaching he's doing at the same time. So, wow, it's just amazing that they've been able to... He was able to do what he was able to do there.
Times were hard back then, you know. Even before the Depression, in the teens and the 20s, they're tough times for some folks. And Canute was much man, not just in the sports world, but in his real life, as we're beginning to see.
Yes, and just he was really wasn't the first coach to use the forward pass, but he helped popularize it nationally. As a matter of fact, if it weren't for the forward pass, we might not have college football in college because of Theodore Roosevelt, because it was becoming such a dangerous game, he threatened to cut it out from all college campuses unless they could find a way to make it safer. Well, by taking to the air, making the passes come, it did make it safer instead of just a crunching play-by-play every time that they did.
Yeah, it became a game of finesse more than just brute strength. You didn't have the talented runners that we see today that can juke and run around and go real fast, change directions quickly. You didn't have that so much back then.
No, and you didn't really have wide receivers. Most of your passing games consisted of short passes. And it just, what we would consider a tight end today type thing.
Yeah.
But there were no such things really as wide receivers, and very seldom was there ever a Hail Mary just to try and win a ball game at the end like that, just by heaving the ball down the field.
Sure. I'm sure that the passing game also helped develop the 2-minute drill, where a lot of teams do, you know, in a very close game, can turn the tide with just enough time if you manage the clock correctly.
Well, it's not just that. It takes the defense out of their game, where they don't really get to substitute players. There's not enough time to substitute players. So if you've got a guy that really specializes on third downs, getting to the quarterback and things like that, you can't get him in there unless he's already in. But it takes a quarterback that really knows what he's doing to be able to manage what they call the 2-minute offense, to call it that.
Yeah.
Which is just a hurry-up offense, you know, either way.
Yeah, and often the most thrilling part of a close game. Thrilling is the life of Canute. It is Canute. I was saying that in jest. I always thought it was Newt my whole life, but here it's Canute. Who knew?
It depends on what part of the country you're from, I guess. I'm not sure. Yep, Canute is how they're pronouncing it here, and just like they used to call it, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I think a lot of people watered it down to Newt Rockne, but
I must have been one of them. But he quite a fella, and we can just we got the second reel up here. Don't forget the big halftime show right after this segment. Newt Rockne, Canute Rockne, All American, Part 2.
All right, come on, get going in there. What have you boys been doing all summer? Fox trotting? Shift outside the tackle. That's better. Keep working in there.
How's it look this year, Rock?
We'll have a pretty fair ball club, I guess. What I'd give my right arm for is a halfback who can carry the mail. A big, fast boy who can run, pass, and kick like, say, Jim Thorpe.
A guy like that would never come to a little school like Notre Dame.
No, I know, the sort of fellow I'm looking for only comes along maybe once or twice in the coach's lifetime. But I'm still hoping. And if I ever do find a boy like that.
Hey, did you see what I saw, Coach?
Who kicked that ball?
50 yards, easy.
Well, who did it?
Well, that fellow standing over there.
Why isn't he in uniform? Wait a minute, hey, bud.
Yeah?
Come here a minute. Where are you from?
Calumet.
Ever play any football?
Some in high school. Baseball's my dish.
Don't you like football?
Not much.
Go on in. Get yourself a uniform. Report to the scrubs.
Why?
Because I think you might make a football player.
I doubt it.
Try it anyway.
All right, if you insist.
Wait a minute. Either way, come here. What's your name?
Gip. George Gip. What's yours?
Is he kidding me? Wait a minute. Where's that fellow I sent him for uniform?
Well, there he is, Coach. That's him laying down over there.
Mm-hmm. What's he tired about? Beg your pardon, Gip. I don't mean to disturb your rest. Do we bore you?
No, I got nothing better to do.
Maybe I can fix that for you. Would you like to play?
Well, I have been sort of wondering why they gave me this uniform.
Get in there with the scrubs, the left half.
I haven't learned your signals yet.
They'll give you the ball. Just run with it.
How far?
You won't have to bother about that. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we're not quitting, are we? What's up,
I don't know.
All right, everybody up. Everybody up. All right, hold it, fellas. Boys, this is Mr. George Gipp, freshman from Calumet High School. Mr. Gipp has kindly consented to carry the ball for the scrubs. Just call any play, any at all. They're all the same to him. It's going to be good.
Line up, boys.
All right, I'll take
care of it. Signal. 8, 16, 21, 43, 9.
Hey, look at that guy. They can't touch him. Hey, Coach, that's the varsity he's walking through.
The boy who can carry the mail. That's him.
There he goes. He's in the clear, Rock. It's a touchdown.
Here's the ball, Coach. I guess the boys are just tired.
Notre Dame, 27.
Michigan State, 0.
Notre Dame, 23.
Nebraska, 9.
Notre Dame, 14.
Northwestern, 7.
Notre Dame, 33.
great game today.
Thanks. Rock get back yet?
He's been phoning me every 5 minutes. His office is full of newspaper reporters waiting to see you.
Oh, Rock can take care of him.
You're a strange person, George. You've been playing football for 3 years. And now when you're the biggest news of any boy in America, you deliberately walk away from all that fame. Why?
Oh, I don't know, Bunny. I guess I just don't like people to get too close to me.
You know, Knute and I often talk about you, George. We'd like our two boys to grow up and be like you someday.
You mean to play football?
No, not just that. To have your poise and thoughtfulness and your intelligence.
Did Rock say that?
Yes. Yes, he did. He said those qualities are rare in a boy of your age.
No. Rock's the rare one, Bonnie, not me. There'll be new fellas coming along year after year. A lot of them much better football players than I ever was. But there'll never be but one Rockney, here at Notre Dame or anywhere else. He's given us something they don't teach in school. Something clean and strong inside. Not just courage, but a right way of living that none of us will ever forget. Don't tell Rock I said that, Bonnie. He'd think I was an awful sap.
That's funny, George. He said the same thing about you. There'll never be but one Gipper, here or anywhere else. I'm going to get you something for that cough.
No, I'm all right. It's just a little sore throat, that's all.
Don't you argue with me, George Gipp. I've taken care of babies and football players for years.
Hello, Rock.
Oh, so this is where you're hiding, huh? What's the matter? Too bashful to drop by and get your picture taken?
Oh, I didn't want to horn in your party, Rock. They get one of your profile?
Must be nice to read what a great fellow you are on Saturdays anyway.
I haven't gotten that far. This paper says you're a genius.
So, let me see.
There it is. Read it.
Any coach can look like a genius when his team has a halfback like the Gipper. Oh, why, you. Well, they're right, George. They're right. As long as you're in there, I look pretty good. You've made a reputation for me. The team's going to miss you like a right arm next year. I'm going to miss you too, George. Won't quite be the same house without him hanging around, will it, Bonnie?
No, it won't. Here, George, you take this. Lie down now.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Wait a minute, what is this? What's going on here?
George is a sore throat and a very bad cough.
So, let me see. Come over here, the light.
Oh, it's nothing serious, Rock. Season's over anyway.
You say anything about the season? Open your mouth. Wide. Mm-hmm. You're all right. Come on, get your hat.
Hey, anybody think you were still in the Army?
I saw enough of the Army to know what's wrong with you. Bonnie, we're going to the hospital. This is a sick boy. How's he doing, Doc? Is he any better?
No, Rock. I'm afraid not.
Well, isn't there any chance at all?
Rock, we've done everything we could. You know that. It's no use.
How long has he got?
I can't say. Perhaps the night, perhaps an hour. I think you'd better go in now.
George. Yes, Rock. George, this telegram just came from Waller Camp. You were named as fullback on the All-American team.
Me? You wouldn't kid me, Rock.
No. No, I wouldn't kid you. I'm on the level. You're going to be all right, fella.
I haven't got a complaint in the world. What's tough about this? I'm not afraid. Only Rock. Someday, when the team's up against it, things are wrong, and the brakes are beating the boys, will you ask them to go in there with everything they got and win just one for the Gipper? I don't know where I'll be then, but I'll know it, and I'll be happy.
Just a moment, Mr. DeMille returns with Act Two of Knute Rockne All-American. starring Pat O'Brien, Ronald Reagan, Donald Crisp, and Fay Wray. But before we go on with our play, we'd like you to hear what's going on all over the United States. If you could fly from coast to coast, from Boston to San Francisco, everywhere you went, every day of the week, this is what you'd be likely to hear.
Send me a large box of new Quick Lux, please.
Right away, Mrs. Brown.
I need some Lux Flakes. Better make it 2 boxes.
Yes, Mrs. Smith.
A large size Lux, please.
Yes, Mrs. Jones.
New Quick Lux, please.
Yes, Mrs. Blake.
Lux, please.
Lux, please.
Lux.
Well, that's the way it goes. In hundreds of stores all over the country, women keep asking for new Quick Lux. American women certainly know what they want.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ruick. We want new Quick Lux.
You certainly do. You've proved it. You've made new Quick Lux the most popular soap for nice things in the whole United States by a vote of 2-1.
Well, what's so amazing about that? It doesn't surprise me one bit.
Well, Sally, isn't it pretty wonderful that twice as many women use Lux for underthings, stockings, and other nice things as use any other flakes, chips, or beads? Yes, ma'am, it's new Quick Lux 2-1.
But I'm not a bit surprised. You know, Mr. Ruick, sometimes I think you men don't give us women credit for having any brains. Of course we choose new Quick Lux. Well, think of what it does for us. How much it saves us. First of all, it saves our pretty things. Undies, sheer stockings, fluffy sweaters.
Yes. With Lux, they stay lovely looking longer. It's so gentle, safe for anything, safe in water alone.
And it saves us time.
Because it's faster. In water as cool as your hand, it suds 3 times as fast as any of 10 other leading soaps tested.
And it's thrifty.
It certainly is. New Quick Lux goes further, gives more suds, ounce for ounce, than any of the 10 other soaps tested. That's true even in hard water. Fast, safe, thrifty. No wonder New Quick Lux has become the favorite American way to care for nice things. The choice of women all over the United States. And now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act 2 of Knute Rockne, All-American, starring Pat O'Brien as Knute Rockne, Donald Crisp as Father Callahan, and Fay Wray as Bunny Rockne. Someday, Knute will find his right place in the world. Those were Father Callahan's words. And Knute found that place, not in the laboratory, but on the football field. It was not an easy decision. It was made after long and careful thought, because he felt that his real job was coaching, turning out great teams for Notre Dame, turning out men.
All right, everybody up. Everybody up. All right, come on. All right, men, starting a new season today. Got a tough schedule ahead of us. We're used to that at Notre Dame. Now let's get this straight before we start. I don't want any fellow out here to think he's any better than anyone else. And that goes for you, Letterman, too. Football consists primarily of tackling and blocking. And nobody can make this team if all they can do is carry the ball forward, pass, or punt. Any of you spoiled high school stars who don't want to learn to block and tackle, turn in your suits tonight. Turn them in tonight. You can't make the team here. The Notre Dame system is based on teamwork. Teamwork, which means a combination of self-sacrifice, brains, and sweat. And the brains come first. I'll expect you to work hard, but I'll also expect you to maintain a high average in your classes. We want to win if we can, but you didn't come to Notre Dame just to play football. 5 years from now, the public will have forgotten even the best of you. Remember that. All right, let's see what you look like as a dummy. Come on, get moving.
Rutgers, 0.
Notre Dame, 48.
Carnegie Tech, 0.
Notre Dame, 19.
That clock says 1:15. Is that right, Doctor?
Seems to be 1:15 a.m. on the dot, Mrs. Rockne.
Thank you, Professor. It was very nice of you both to come and sit up with me, but I'm sure Knute will be back soon. The last train from Chicago was due 10 minutes ago.
Well, as members of the Notre Dame faculty, Mrs. Rockne, this is our humble way of helping to celebrate the team's illustrious victory.
When I celebrate, I never go to bed before 1:30.
Bonnie! Oh.
There he is.
Bonnie.
I've just seen something. I've got the idea of a lifetime.
Knute, what is it?
Doc, Professor, I saw a show in Chicago tonight. Chorus girls, a whole row of them.
Knute.
Chorus girls?
At your age,
no,
Rock?
No, I don't mean that. It was the rhythm, like poetry to watch him move. Effortless, beautiful. Those girls gave me an idea for a new kind of a backfield shift.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, I tell you, it'll revolutionize the game. No lost motion, no waste of momentum, split-second timing. And the public will love it. It's new, it's colorful, it's great showmanship. Here, Doc, let me show you what I mean. Stand over there.
Now, listen.
Professor, you hold your spot right there, and I'll take the tailback position. Bonnie, you get in there at left half.
Me?
Come on, we need one more for a backfield.
Oh, all right.
All right, now good. Now, when I yell, hip, everybody takes a step and a hop to the left like this. All right? One, two, step. Swing your arms. Get the rhythm. All set. Okay, here we go. 25, 36, 51.
Hip. Oh. Well, watch it, Doctor.
Fun, isn't it?
All right. Try it again. Put some zip in it, Doc. Here we go. 38, 42, 29. Hip.
Oh, careful.
Oh, Bonnie, you're way ahead of the ball. Wait for the hip.
I was not ahead of the ball. I fell over the coffee table.
All right. We got four boys coming back next year. Four boys will take to the ship like ducks to water. Once more now. 21, 58, 55. Hip. One, two, step. No. All right, hold it. Hold it, boys. Hold it, Mike. Hold it. Oh, you're all out of step. Swing your arms wide like this. Get the rhythm. You look like a brakeman flagging a train. Oh, and you, Miller. You know, you've only got 2 feet. Do they have to step on each other?
Oh,
yes. Stilder, you're moving too slow. Whole point of this ship is to catch the opponents by surprise off balance. Oh, yes, Crowley. I hope I'm not being too personal, but did you ever learn to dance?
Well, I can waltz a little.
No. I kind of thought that's what you were doing. All right. Now, listen, boys, listen. We've got a great thing in this shift, if we do it right. And I selected you four, because I know you can do it right. Made order for you. I know it's tricky. That's the beauty of it. If it works the way I figure, it'll revolutionize football. All right, let's try it again. All right, Mike, put another nickel slot. Here we go. One, two, three. Hip!
Also has a ship, so has Tad Jones of Yale. But theirs are simple tunes compared to Rockney Symphony, for this ship is music, the music of a master's hand. Newt Rockney, whose ingenious brain perfected the forward pass, has brought a great new thrill to football and to its millions of followers. In the brilliant hands and feet of the four horsemen, Elmer Layden, Rip Miller, Jim Crowley, and Harry Schroeder, the Notre Dame ship has become a prairie fire, burning north, east, south, and west, relentless and unchecked for 3 straight years.
And there goes the whistle, as it is finally halftime here for Knute Rockne, All-American from Lux Radio Mystery Theater. And someone, I bet someone wonderful, has just joined us here on Treehouse.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you didn't mean me.
No, not at all.
I thought you said Dave. Okay, never mind.
CW, just in time for our big halftime show.
Yeah. Indeed, greetings.
We've got to keep it going because I know that we've got another half of the show to go. And this is a few minutes long, but this was something I did several years back with a local broadcaster. And I wrote this up because I got tired of everything happening in baseball and football being sponsored by something. So I just decided to take it a little extra step further. Here we have the last 2 minutes of a football game for our halftime festivities.
The Weirdness No Wildflowers and
in the West Pasture Madhouse. Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Ferguson, along with my broadcast partner, Dave Bigby. We are back for the last 2 minutes of this classic contest.
That's right, Phil. And this two-minute warning was brought to you by Edwards Egg Timers. 2 minutes is really important to you. You need it, Edwards Egg Timers.
Well, it looks pretty bad for the hometown Wildflowers. They find themselves on the wrong end of a 22-17 score. And this last drive, the Mad Cows have been really milking out that clock.
Oh, and you know what? This milked-out drive was brought to you by your local Dairy Place convenience store. Dairy Place, your one-stop shop for gasoline, booze, cigarettes, and lottery tickets. We have everything but dairy products.
The Wildflowers' last chance is to get the ball back before the Mad Cows get another first down. The snap. Brandon hands the ball to Whiskers, who tries to run outside, pushed out of bounds by Murphy.
Oh, and out of bounds is brought to you by the Not Just Lunch dating service. The best way to go out of bounds, not just lunch.
Well, there was a pickup of 5 yards on that play that did stop the clock with a minute and a half to go. Brandon lined up behind center. The snap. Looks like Brandon will hand it off to Whiskers again. Whiskers tripped up on that play, gaining 1 yard.
Oh, and that trip up was brought to you by Nelson's Loafers. No tripping over our shoelaces. Nelson's Loafers.
Oh, I can't believe it. What a bad spot. They placed the ball, giving the Mad Cows an extra yard on that play.
Well, you know, and that bad spot was brought to you by Professor Rufus' Spot Remover. Not only does it remove any bad spot, you can also cook squash in it. So that's Professor Rufus' Spot Remover.
Third and three with 1:10 left on the clock. And it is still ticking. You would think that the Wildflowers perhaps would use up their last time out.
You know, that's right, though, because saving time is like saving money. And the best way to save money is at your local dog trust bank. If you can't trust a dog, who can you trust?
Well, the clock down to just 50 seconds, and Brandon takes the snap. Dudley breaks through the line, chasing down Brandon, throws him down for an 18-yard loss on that sack.
That sack is brought to you by the Sack Shack. Paper, plastic, your choice at the Sack Shack.
That takes the Mad Cows out of field goal range, and now the Wildflowers take their final timeout. 35 seconds remaining.
Ooh, and that timeout's brought to you by the watch shop around the corner. If your watch is stopped, bring it to us at the watch shop around the corner.
Well, the Mad Cows have no choice but to run this play. If they don't get the first down here, they will turn the ball over on downs, and the Wildflowers will have one or at best two shots at the end zone with no timeouts. Brandon, back in the shotgun, gets the snap. He's got great protection. Looking downfield, pumps once, now throws the ball. Looks like Myers will get the first down if he can pull it in. Flynn steps in front of Myers, intercepts the ball.
Oh, that interception is brought to you by your friendly repo service, where we take it back with a smile, your friendly repo service.
Myers running along the sideline. Looks like he could go all the way.
And if you want to go all the way, you need to take the This Little Piggy Taxi service, where you can go wee-wee-wee all the way home.
Well, he's to the 15, the 10, 5, touchdown!
And a touchdown brought to you by the Bowtie Singles Bar, where you're guaranteed to score by last call.
The final gun, the Wildflowers win it 23-22.
And you know, Phil, that final gun is brought to you by Billy Bob's Gun Shop. We never miss fire.
Well, Dave, you could not ask for a more exciting finish than that.
Not without having a heart attack, Bill.
Once again, the final score, Weirdnessville Wildflowers 23, the West Pasture Mad Cows 22. For my broadcast partner, Dave Binkley, I'm Phil Ferguson. Have a good night. We will see you next week on the Weirdness Game of the Week.
And next week is brought to you by Mary's Calendar Kiosk at Southtown Mall, where we can give you a month of Sundays.
A month of Sundays. Why not?
Why not, indeed? There you go.
was that who I thought it was? The young
that was
man
Phil Ferguson.
You?
He was local here at WAKC when we did have our own local ABC, our own local television station, actually, which was sold off to Ion TV. And he's on the WNIR. He's the morning guy on NIR. He's the news guy, but he also kind of anchors the morning show as well. So that's who you heard along with me.
Wow, you have your own syndicate.
He almost sounded a little bit like Al Clash to me. A little bit.
Yeah, I don't think Al would have portrayed it that way. But Phil himself was a bowler, never made it professionally, but he did. He actually also did stints with ESPN for whenever there's a bowling tournament ESPN is covering in the area here, he is usually right there also working with the announcing. He got to know a lot of the bowling greats. He's a pretty good bowler himself, as are his sons. So it's interesting thing. I did a few golf sketches with him as well, and he wanted me to do some bowling sketches, and I wrote them up, but we never got a chance to do them yet. So who knows, maybe someday.
And bowling is awesome. I mean, come on, a sport where you not only can, but it's almost encouraged that you consume beer during the game.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And hamburgers and french fries, all that greasy stuff. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you don't need to have an athlete's body to play well. I think it is a sport for me.
Yep. Well, I didn't want to take up too much time, but I know we have two more almost 15-minute halves here, so quarters here, so probably need to get right back into
third. Get back to hearing Cecil B. DeMille introduce Knute Rockne, All-American.
That's right. Rockne, said it right, Dale.
Yep.
Yeah.
And here we go with part three from Lux Radio Theater.
All right, that's settled, Bonnie. After the game tomorrow, we leave for Florida on a nice long vacation.
Yes, dear.
Just sit on the sand at Miami Beach and do nothing all day long. Absolutely nothing.
Yes, dear. All day.
Oh, Bonnie, I hope you didn't forget to pack my flannels.
I've packed them every fall for 12 years. Even the moths are beginning to lose hope.
Oh, now, Bonnie, that's not fair. Who is it?
Hiya, Rock.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing, Rock?
Come on in, boys. Come on in. Well, what's on your mind?
I'd like to get a statement, Rock. What's the dope on the Army game tomorrow?
Notre Dame and 13 points.
The cadets are plenty tough this year. They think they can break the 16-game winning streak of Notre Dame.
That's what they say.
That's right, George. Boys, this is off the record. But nobody can stop our team. They said we'd miss the four horsemen. We'd fold up like a bridge table without them. If anything, we're even better. We've been undefeated for three straight years. And tomorrow we'll take the Army into camp just like we took the rest of them.
But it's true. The powerful Notre Dame team is going down to defeat. Army, 27.
Notre Dame, 0.
Oh, Jesse. Well, I still can't figure why we couldn't wait in New York for a later train.
Well, I wanted to slip into town before daylight.
The students usually like to come down to the station and welcome the team back, don't they, Canute?
Sure, when we win. For 3 years, they've met every train. We lost this game. I lost it. Oh, I was too cocky, had a swell head, thought I could outsmart everybody. I don't blame the folks in South Bend, whatever they think of me, because I let them down.
Don't take it so to heart, Canute. There's always next year.
Bonnie, I don't even want to get off the train. We'll face them tomorrow. Can't. No, we won't get off, Bonnie. Let's go straight on through to Chicago and then down to Florida the way we always planned. Maybe in 2 or 3 months, they won't feel so badly about it, and I can come home. That's what we'll do.
South Bend. South Bend.
This is it, Canute.
South Bend, Mr. Rockne. Rush officer.
Well, Canute.
All right, Bonnie. Go and face it.
I think that's best.
Listen.
What is it?
Well, it sounds like... Come on. Wait a minute. Wait. Maybe you folks didn't understand the newspapers. We didn't win this game. We lost.
Who cares? We still got you, Rock.
Thanks.
Why, certainly. Why, you shouldn't have stayed up for us, Father.
If the rest of Notre Dame can, I guess I can.
Father, I never had anything like this happen to me before. All those boys down at the station. Did you hear what they said? Who cares if we did lose? We've still got you, Rock.
And have we still got you, Canute? There's been a lot of talk these last few months about large offers to you from different colleges. None of us would blame you if you did leave. Any man must better himself if he can. We've just wondered what you'd do. That's all.
How could any man better himself with friends like mine? No, I'll never leave Notre Dame, Father. I'll never leave Notre Dame.
Thank you, Canute. Thank you.
After a brief intermission, Mr. DeMille presents Pat O'Brien, Fay Wray, Ronald Reagan, and Donald Crisp in Act 3 of Canute Rockne All-American. Ladies, did you ever wash a sweater and have it come out half its original size and all faded and scratchy into the bargain? It's maddening and expensive, isn't it? Why not take a tip from a woman who knows a lot about sweaters and how to care for them? She's a lady from Saskatoon, Canada, and she's written us a very interesting letter. Will you read it, Sally?
Mm-hmm. She says, I have a number of sweaters which I received from the old country made of the finest wool. Some of them are 3 or 4 years old, but you would never know it by looking at them. Their color hasn't faded one bit, and they're still as soft as when I first got them. Yet I can truthfully say that I've washed them between 40 and 50 times, always in lukewarm Lux suds.
Now that's a fine letter. It's not surprising that new Quick Lux is by far the most popular way to care for sweaters. First of all, it's so gentle and mild. And then it's so fast. In water as cool as your hand, an ideal temperature for washing sweaters, new Quick Lux dissolves 3 times as fast as any of 10 other leading soaps tested. Finally, it's thrifty. A little Lux goes a long way.
You know, I think you ought to warn women about 2 things that are very hard on sweaters, Mr. Ruick. 2 things that may shrink them badly. Hot water is one, and the other is cake soap rubbing.
You're right, Sally. With Lux, you don't need hot water, and there's no rubbing either. So you can see why woolens stay lovely looking longer with Lux care. Oh, now, Sally, how about giving the ladies of our audience the Lux method for washing a sweater?
Well, first you draw the outline of your sweater on a piece of heavy paper for a pattern. Then whip up some nice, rich, cool Lux suds and just squeeze them through the sweater. Don't rub. Rinse in water as cool as the suds. Press out the moisture in a Turkish towel. Then lay the sweater flat on your paper pattern and ease it into its original shape. Pin with rust-proof pins and leave it to dry. After it's dry and you've taken the pins out, press the edges gently with a warm iron over a damp cloth to take the pin marks out.
Thanks, Sally. Remember, new Quick Lux is safe for everything, safe in water alone. It comes in the same familiar box, and it doesn't cost you a cent more. We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Curtain rises on the third act of Canute Rockne, All-American. They still like to talk in football circles of the famous Canute Rockne system, but his success was based on more than system. It was based on patience and good sportsmanship, on a deep understanding of the boys who worked with him. One afternoon before the Navy game, Rockne received a letter from the father of one of these boys.
Listen to this, Hunk. Now, Rock, I have waited 3 years to see my son play for Notre Dame, but you've never given him a chance. Unless you dislike the boy personally, why don't you give him a square deal? I promise you he'll tear that Navy line to pieces. Signed, John O'Flaherty, class of 1906.
Maybe you ought to take a job at Sing Sing, Rock. Then the alumni wouldn't bother you.
Yes. I saw that O'Flaherty boy on the hall. Send him in here.
Sure. Hey, Charlie, send O'Flaherty in.
Here's one from the Moose Heart Orphanage. Dear Canute, Me and the other boys up here have been reading all about you and the Notre Dame team. We have got a football team, too. Will you let us call ourselves the Rockne Colts? We don't have real uniforms, and we don't know many good plays, but we have got lots of spirit. And he's got a postscript down there that says, win that game Saturday.
Did you want to see me, Coach?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sit down, Flaherty. Just had a letter from your father.
From Dad? What does he want? Sit on the bench with you Saturday?
No, he wants me to put you in the game.
Oh, but I'm not even going, am I?
No. Your dad's got a lot of pride in you, hasn't he?
I guess so.
That's a great thing for both of you. Don't ever let anything happen to change it. You know why I'm not taking you to Baltimore?
Well, I guess it's because I'm just not good enough.
No, that's not it. You are good, O'Flaherty. You are good. You're just not big enough, O'Flaherty. I've never played you because I was afraid you'd get hurt. I've kept you on the squad all these years because you've got spirit. Great spirit. Better than your dad's, if you ask me.
Oh, he'll get over it. You know how fathers are.
I ought to. I'm one myself. Oh, I'd like to put you in there next Saturday. But against that big baby line, you're taking off a beating. You might fumble. Lose the game for us. That'd break your dad's heart, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
If we win, they may forget it. And if we lose, you can blame me for not playing you. Either way, it'll make him happy. What do you say, O'Flaherty?
Just thanks.
Good boy. See you this afternoon, son.
Yes, sir.
Hunk.
Yeah, Rock?
Add O'Flaherty's name to the list for Baltimore.
But, Rock, he never goes with the team.
I know. He's going with us this time. I'm going to let him kick off.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Rockne. Yes, yes, it is serious. No, I'm sorry. Mr. Rockne can't see anyone. Doctor's orders. Yes, I'll let you know.
Now you're crazy, Doc. It's my leg, isn't it?
Yeah, sure, it's your leg. But you're my patient, you stubborn Norwegian. And you're a very sick man. The veins of your legs are swollen up like manila ropes. You've got phlebitis, and you've got it bad.
Ah, I could get up and walk right now. What is phlebitis, Doc?
It's an inflammation of the veins. And if you move around, there's a strong possibility of forming a blood clot that would travel up to your heart.
What did that do?
Well, your insurance company wouldn't like it. I've warned you about this for 10 years, but you wouldn't listen. You've let those boys of yours smash into you year after year, knock you down, run over you. Now you're paying for it. You're not 20 years old, you're 42. And if you don't obey my orders, you'll never be any older.
No, but, Doc, we're playing the Army on Saturday, and the boys...
I don't care if you're playing the whole schedule on Saturday. You don't move out of that bed, and those are my orders.
Bonnie. Bonnie.
Yes, Knut?
Bonnie, I want a wheelchair.
What?
A wheelchair, Bonnie. A wheelchair. We're playing the Army on Saturday.
It looks like an Army day. Score at the end of the half. Army 6, Notre Dame 0.
Here's Rock, fellas.
Well, boys, I haven't a thing to say. You played a great game this first half, all of you. I guess we just can't win them all. Boys, I'm going to tell you something I've kept to myself for years. None of you here ever knew George Gipp. It was long before your time. But you all do know what his tradition stands for at Notre Dame. Well, the last thing he said to me was, Rock, sometime when the team is up against it, when things are wrong, and the brakes are beating the boys, tell them to go in there with all they've got and win just one for the Gipper. I don't know where I'll be then, Rock, he said, but I'll know about it. That's all, boys.
Well, what are we waiting for? Come on! Come on, come on, let's go in there.
Come
Notre Dame. Seven.
Whoopsie. I got a little stuck there. Thanks a lot, Blog Talk. I blame Blog Talk.
Hello.
Yes. So are you enjoying our tale tonight, Ms. W?
Well, yes. Listening to them carry the old pig skin, that's just warms my vegetarian heart. But
well, you missed the early part. Carrying the old pigskin isn't pigskin. Maybe it was originally, but it's now cowhide.
Oh.
Does that help? Does that help?
Okay. And when it's the beyond or impossible meat skin, then we'll talk. But
you know, I don't think you can kick bean pot as hard as you can a football.
Oh.
Or bean curd.
Curd. There you are, bean curd. And it's going down the 20, the 30, the 40, the 50, and it's tofu.
Nice. Nice. Go ahead, upstage us. Go ahead. Because that was damn good.
Thank you very much.
Oh my.
Oh lordy.
I didn't realize Faye Ray was Faye Ray in just the radio play, or was she actually in the movie?
She was in the movie as well. I didn't realize that either.
Wow.
Yep.
King Kong's BFF. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
King Kong, I think that's one game that Newt Rockne didn't win, yeah.
Yeah, probably not. Unless he's flying one of the planes.
King Kong.
Yeah. King Kong. Yeah, that was her tall, dark, handsome leading man.
True enough.
Very tall. Very tall. Very dark. The handsome part is up to other people.
Yeah.
Compared to Godzilla, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
True enough.
I usually don't rate guys myself, so I'm not in a position to, you know, do that. So.
Oh well.
Not my preference. Not my preference. Yeah.
And did Cecil B. DeMille also direct the original movie? I don't think he did. No. No, that wasn't his.
He was the host of the Lux Radio Theater, and until they decided to come out with the actor's fee, he would have had to pay an actor's fee of $1 per show, and he refused to pay it. And somebody else was going to pay it for him, and he refused to let them pay it, and he lost his radio gig over that. Amazing.
Over a buck?
Yeah. Over a dollar, yeah. Over a dollar a week.
Gee, I thought I was a stubborn ass.
Wow. This is a guy who literally broke the bank with doing the silent screen version of the Ten Commandments, the Charlton Heston version of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Didn't he also do Ben-Hur and The Greatest Show on Earth?
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yep.
And over a buck? Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess he took it with him when he went.
Yeah. Tightwad.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
Hey, Dale, we better get kicking right in. We've got barely enough time to get in our last segment there.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. We'll be back after part four.
Football scandal attacked by noted educators. Cry of professionalism raised by college authorities. Football purge opens in New York. I suppose you've read all this, Rock?
I've read every word of it. Noted educators, are they? They've got no argument. Public doesn't believe this stuff.
The public believes whatever it reads in the papers, Canute. Unless it is denied in type just as large and preferably larger. The coaches of other colleges all over the country want you to go to New York, Rock. They need your name and voice to speak for them. Will you do it, Rock?
All right. I'll go. But I'm not going to mince any words.
Mr. Rockney, the original idea upon which all college sport is founded is that a normal amount of exercise is helpful to young men engaged in their studies. Do you agree with this definition?
No, as far as it goes, yes.
How would you amend that definition?
Games such as football are more than merely helpful to boys. They are an absolute necessity of the nation's best interests.
Why, Mr. Ruckner?
Because every red-blooded young man in any country is filled with what we might call the natural spirit of combat. In many parts of Europe and elsewhere in the world, this spirit has manifested itself in continuous wars and revolutions. But we have tried to make competitive sports act as a safer outlet for this spirit of combat. And I believe we've succeeded.
Do you mean to imply, Mr. Ruckney, that college football, as practiced at Notre Dame, is a form of pacifism?
Well, I suppose you could get an argument on that from some of our opponents.
But that is precisely what I mean.
Mr. Ruckney, have you ever interceded for a football player who fell behind in his classes and had to be suspended from your team?
I have not. If any player flunks in his class, he's no good to the coach or to the school he attends. And the coach who goes around trying to fix it for athletes to be scholastically eligible when mentally they're not, well, he's just a plain everyday fool.
Mr. Ruckney, couldn't football be replaced by some other game? Something less violent?
What game would you suggest?
Well, hockey, for instance.
Well, no, just a minute. As a matter of fact, I once suggested that very idea to Father Callahan, our president. I explained the game to him in detail, and he seemed downright interested. Until we came to the use of the sticks. Then he held up his hands. No, he said. No, that game is never for this university. Notre Dame will never endorse any game that puts a club in the hands of an Irishman.
In your opinion, Mr. Ruckney, what is college for? Where do these elaborate spectacles of sport fit into the scheme of education? What is their contribution to the national intelligence?
Gentlemen, we are living in the 20th century. To limit the college education to books, classrooms, and laboratories is to give to education too narrow a meaning for modern times. Now, if I have learned any one fact in my 20 years of work with boys, it's this. The most dangerous thing in American life today is we're getting soft. Soft inside and out. And we're losing that forceful heritage of mind and body that was once our most precious possession. Now we, these coaches and I, have given our lives to working that flaccid philosophy out of our boys' minds and bodies. We believe the finest work of man is building the character of man. We've tried to build courage and initiative and tolerance and persistence, without which the most educated brain in the head of man is not worth very much. Now, our boys at Notre Dame have played all over the country. They've gotten to learn that Southerners aren't lazy. Northerners aren't cold. Middle Westerners aren't hicks. Californians aren't big and dumb. They've found from all sorts of America what America is. And in that process, they found themselves. Now, I don't know, Professor. I don't know how you'd grade a boy for learning all these things. 50, 75, 90, perhaps. But wouldn't it be a good idea not to grade anyone's contribution to the national intelligence until all the results were in, say 5 or 10 years after he's graduated, when his record and character aren't hung on the wall like a diploma, but are hung inside the man himself?
Oh, Knut, this son is wonderful. And so good for the children.
Why, of course, Bunny. Didn't I promise you we'd come to Florida?
Yes, dear. 17 years ago.
Oh, no, 70. Couldn't be that long.
Oh, don't worry about it now. Just relax.
Well, Bunny, I promise you it won't be 17 years before we're here again. Every winter from now on, we'll take the kids and go south and really get some fun out of life.
That's never been much trouble for you. The day we left South Bend, Father Callahan said to me, "If Rock ever loses that laugh of his, I hope he doesn't outlive it long."
Mr. Rockney?
Yes, something for me, son?
Yes, sir. Telegram, sir.
Oh, thanks.
Here, thank you, sir.
What is it, Knut?
Well, I've got to go to California.
But not right away.
Yes. See, I promised those fellows I'd come whenever they needed me. Oh, there ought to be a union for people who can't say no.
You aren't going by plane, are you?
Well, Bonnie, if I take a train, it'll take me 3 days. This way, I'll get there in no time. I'll be back Monday.
But you know how I feel about flying, Rock.
Bonnie, I wish you wouldn't look at me like that. Come on now, honey. Help me pack. I'll wire from Kansas City tomorrow morning. When will this telegram reach Florida?
Within half an hour, Mr. Rossney. I'll send it right away. They say there may be a storm ahead of you, Rock. Why don't you wait over here till the next plane?
Haven't any time to waste. I want to be back in Florida by next Monday. I'm on a vacation.
Passengers from Los Angeles plane. Los Angeles plane.
So long. Soft landing, Rock.
Thanks, fella. You mean happy landing, don't you?
A transcontinental plane flying from Kansas City to Los Angeles crashed this morning on a hilltop 3 miles from this town, carrying to instant death the 6 passengers and 2 pilots. Among the identified dead is Knut Rockne.
We who are here are but a handful of his friends, come to pay our last tribute of devotion to his mortal remains. Of necessity, we are few in number in this hallowed place, though thousands are without the doors. But we represent millions like ourselves who are here in spirit, listening all over America. Knut Rockne might have gone to any university in the land and been gladly received and forever cherished there. But he chose Our Lady School. He honored her in the monogram which he earned and wore. He honored her in the principles and in the ideals he set up in the lives of young men under his care. He was indeed her true son. Yes, Knut Rockne has gone. And who was he? Ask the President of these United States, who dispatched a personal message of tribute to his memory. Ask the King of Norway, who sent a special delegation here to represent him. Ask the thousands of newspaper men whose labor of love in his memory has stirred every heart in America. But above all, ask the men and women from every walk of life. Ask the children, the boys of America. Ask any and all of these. Who was this man whose death has struck a nation with dismay and has everywhere bowed heads in grief?
Knut Rockne, born 1888, died 1931. He'll never be forgotten, for his doctrines live on in men he knew as boys, men who now carry aloft his standard of fair, clean play and sportsmanship. Among them, Rip Miller, Navy, James Crowley, Fordham, Harry Stooldreher, Wisconsin, Frank Thomas, Alabama, Eddie Anderson and Frank Corridio, Iowa, Charlie Bachman, Michigan State, Noble Kaiser and Mal Elwood, Purdue, Jim Palin, Washington, Buckshaw, Santa Clara, Adam Walsh, Bowdoin, Gus Doré, Detroit, Pepper Smith, Villanova, Jack Mayer, Auburn, Marty Brill, Loyola, and Elmer Layton, Notre Dame.
So we bring to a close our play, tonight's performance of Knut Rockne, All-American. In just a moment, Mr. DeMille will bring our stars back to the microphone. But first, it looks to me as though Sally here had something to say, something rather complicated from the way she's figuring with that pencil and paper.
Almost an hour a day, 7 days a week.
What on earth are you doing, Sally?
I'm figuring out how much time a housewife spends washing dishes every year.
What's the answer?
Oh, wait till I finish figuring. 300 divided by 8, 3, 7. Well, just imagine. Why, that'd be 8 hours a day for 5 weeks out of the year.
That's a long time to have your hands in dishwater at the mercy of the soap you use. If that soap is harsh, it's bound to make them rough and red and unattractive.
No woman wants hands like that. It's much better to use gentle new Quick Lux flakes.
Much, much better. And this has been proved by hundreds of women in tests of 5 leading dishwashing soaps, including Lux. Tests made under conditions similar to home dishwashing. Lux left their hands ever so much softer, smoother than the other soaps did. You can prove this for yourself. Try new Quick Lux in your dishpan tomorrow. Ask for the generous big box, the same familiar Lux package. It's fast, it's thrifty, and it's so mild, it helps your hands stay soft and smooth and lovely. Now, here's Mr. DeMille with our stars.
Back in the center of our stage now is Pat O'Brien, the man who made Knute Rockne live for us tonight. And with him are Fay Wray and Donald Crisp.
Thank you, Stevie. It was a great honor to be chosen to play the part of Knute Rockne on the screen, and then again here in the Lux Radio Theater. I've admired him ever since I was a kid.
Pat, you played a little football yourself a few years back, didn't you?
You've been holding out on us, Pat.
It wasn't much to hold out, C.B.
Now, the way I heard it, you were a star quarterback at Marquette and ran 90 yards for a touchdown against one of Knute Rockne's best teams.
That is more than a little exaggerated, Fezzy.
You mean it wasn't 90 yards, Pat?
Can't run 90 yards sitting on the bench. I didn't get in late in the game. Coach was, well, he was desperate. He'd used up the first, second, and third string backs. He was finally down to me. I played about 30 seconds, didn't even get my hands on the ball.
Outside of that, the story's true, huh?
Well, anyway, you can always tell your children that you played against a Knute Rockne team.
That's what I said to myself when I tried to get up for the sixth time.
That's a very comforting thought, Pat. By the way, Mr. DeMille, what's your next play?
14, 82, 91.
Hey! No, not football.
Oh.
I mean next Monday night.
Oh. Next Monday night. Well, we've got a play that's a sure winner, Donald. My Favorite Wife, adapted from Leo McCarey's RKO picture.
Who are the stars going to be, Mr. DeMille?
You like them all, Faye. Laurence Olivier, Rosalind Russell, and Gail Patrick. 3 of everybody's favorites. My Favorite Wife is a gay mix-up. It was one of the hits of the year on the screen, the story of a lady who returned from being shipwrecked on a lonely island to find her husband married again. It's a situation with great possibilities for Laurence Olivier, Rosalind Russell, and Gail Patrick next Monday night.
And a swell time for the audience, C.B. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. If acting were football, you 3 would be a cinch for the Rose Bowl. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Laurence Olivier, Rosalind Russell, and Gail Patrick in My Favorite Wife. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Heard in tonight's play were Griff Barnett as Father Newton, Ted Bliss as Dore, Charles Seal.
There we go, and that wraps up. Yep. Lux Radio Theater, the Knute Rockne story. I don't imagine we have a moral.
No. I mean, the moral is, man, live like Knute, man. Knute.
Yep. Knute. All right, next week, Friday, it's happy birthday to Gail Gordon. We're going to have Armis Brooks, an interview with Gail Gordon on the phone there, and Gregory Hood, the murder of Gregory Hood. Saturday, we'll continue celebrating Gail Gordon's birthday with Green Acres. Granby's Acres. Granby quits his job, more the interview, and Flash Gordon. Flash in the Battle of Death.
Oh, you won't be disappointed. There's you learned so much about early radio, because Gail Gordon was in dramatic radio in the mid-1930s, playing lead roles, mostly bad guys, it seems. So it's really, really interesting to hear about the early radio times. And even in later in the interview, he has callers calling, asking him questions. And just what a tremendous person he was when he did this.
That he was. And that'll be next weekend, starting Friday at 8:30 Eastern. In about 30 seconds, it's Gar the Ghoul, Horrible Horror, over on them there Twitches. You want to check that out. Want to thank good old Bob and everybody else who was listening tonight to Eerie House Radio. See you next weekend.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her!
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Wow.
Don't come alone.
relevance and price and all, but he can't forget about our CW here.
Yeah, the person who upstages you at every step of the way.
Because it's easy. Because it's easy.
Yeah. Well, better to upstage you than to walk over you, which I can do that as well, just as easily.
These are made for walking. That's just what they'll do.
Oh, yeah.
One of these days.
They're going to walk all over you, Dale.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't feel left out, Dave. I can do that for you as well if you like.
Oh, really? Cool. I wouldn't want to feel left out.
Oh, there you go.
Make sure you got those spikes on, you know, when you're talking.
Oh, see, I knew we would go in this direction. Oh,
leave those marks there.
Not spikes. Cleats. Cleats.
She's not, Dave, she's not going to do it.
Oh, no, cleats.
She's not going to do it if we find it enjoyable.
Oh, there you go. Oh, okay.
It's the cleats. Yeah. Remember, Super Bowl. Raw.
I'm just like totally disinterested in the Super Bowl this year. I don't know.
I have no interest in it except maybe later on to watch the commercials. I remember, Dave, that you did a commercial for a Super Bowl as well, didn't you? Did you know?
We did. Yeah, we did. We did two of them. They didn't make it with biggest problem we had is that we got them in at the very last minute of the cutoff time. And what they didn't tell us is like 10 days after you would you would cut them off, there would be the first elimination. Well, in that week, or that 10 days, we moved up over 1,000 places on both of the videos. Had we gotten it in earlier, we might have had a shot. We did one called the Ghost Hunt, where we went in and Al Klesh was the ghost, and we had the bag of Doritos that stayed up by itself as the chip came out of the bag, and then Al showed up as the ghost at the end, and then we did one with the genie. I asked for my wildest dream, and out comes a gal with, you know, two bags of money there. I said, not that. You know, my ultimate dream. He says, okay, so fine. And goes and poof, there he has a bag of Doritos. I said, that's it. And he says, anything more? As I grab him, yeah, you get back in the lamp. And he starts to go, grabs the bag. No, you get back in the lamp. And then you say, poof, poof, you know, the Doritos thing. Hear the crunch. And then you hear me say, let me out of here. And there's the Mike with the gal. She's feeding him Doritos.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's nice. But, but still, you know, just to be in the running, I mean, how many multi-million dollars do these companies spend for 30 seconds?
Yeah, what we found out that all the GCC ones that were the top ones and the ones that won the money and such, we're all out of actually advertising agencies. And they just did it on spec. We're going to do the best job we can to try and get the attention and the play. And they always, whenever you see these banned Super Bowl commercials, it's not banned. They just didn't win. But the biggest ones actually came from the actual professional companies. So I thought we did a pretty darn good job putting that together. I thought they looked really good and they were a lot of fun. And well, one thing I learned is 30 seconds on television is a lot faster than 30 seconds on radio. Because I wrote out what would have been, I think, a 30-second commercial on radio. And it was about half the time, you know, we were filmed. So we took things out and we sped it up. And oh, well.
Hey, why not? Why not?
Nice we'll learn a lot from
it. And that was
nice
the last
done.
Year they actually did the Doritos Challenge. They did it several years before that, but we went ahead and did it for that last year. It was cool.
Well, nicely done. That's a feather in your cap. Absolutely. Nice feather in your cap.
You have many good feathers. You've worked with a lot of folks that I bet you've never thought you would, Dave. We talked about that.
I have. Just been so fortunate to not only get a chance to to work with my idols of Big Chuck and Little John and Houlihan. But all these neat people that I've met along the way that have, you know, working with Phil Ferguson there. And but getting to know people in these strange places I go to, they're just really cool people that you never think of, these neat little places that we've gone to, these little museums we've gone to all over the place. And it's been one heck of a ride. I can't wait to spend some more time to get back to it.
Yep, and, you know, even our dear friends that we've made here on Erie House, it's just been a wild, fun ride here, too, as well.
Yes, absolutely. And some of the neat people we've pulled in here are Rich Heldenfels and Mark DeWidziak, and some of the people from the Shoestring Radio Theater have been doing it for 30 years, radio dramas.
Like Michael Shevsky.
Michael Chesky, yeah. Who you will not see at the last Gullardi Fest. Ron Garstock, he got into it with Ron Garstock in a way, or Ron Garstock got into it with him, and he will not be there. That's the only time.
Oh, did we have Gullardi a bit of Donnybrook there, a little fisticuffs going on?
Well, I can't really say here publicly, but I know what happened.
Oh.
So I can't say, because this still works.
Who's not going to be there, Dave?
Michael Chesky will not be at the last Gullardi Fest.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
If he is, he's done one heck of a butt kissing. That's all I can say.
Okay, so feathers are clearly ruffled. We'll leave it at that.
yes.
And let's hope everybody mends fences and plays nice.
The one guy you can't tick off is the guy that organizes the entire event. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's not.
You know?
Not the one's choice.
Oh, well.
But, anyway.
Thank you for spilling at least a little bit of the tea, Dave.
Glad you got in here.
If we weren't recording... Yeah, you know, maybe if we're all three here some Saturday before we go on, I can explain it, because that doesn't record. But this records,
yeah.
So I can't explain it here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you ever get in early, that's where we really let our hair down sometimes.
It actually opens up 15 minutes before airtime.
Yeah, I can open up the studio to everyone about 15 minutes before airtime.
Oh,
and we get sometimes, you know, we always ask our guests, like when we get guests, so we can get accustomed to them and their iambic parameter and all that fun stuff, you know, for smooth talking and get to know each other and get that level of comfort, you know.
Yep.
Outstanding. Yes, gentlemen, I'm. Really must be away. I'm glad I was able to step in and listen to Canute Rodney, All-American, and find out how much of a cheapskate Cecil B. DeMille really was.
We're here to educate.
It's all about the fun facts.
Outstanding, yes. You know, forget Mr. Bezos and Mr. Elon Musk. For $1. $1. $1, I say. Okay, dear Cecil.
You may not agree with him, but at least he stuck to his principles. I'm not giving in for a damn dollar.
Yep.
Now get me
even when other people are willing to pay it for him.
Now get me $50 million to paint that background.
Yeah. What would Albert Whitlock have to say to that?
If you're gonna head out, you know what your job is then.
Oh, by all means, Mr. Randy, would you kindly follow me this way to your spotlight, if you please, sir.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What the floor is this safe, but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and in cut the caduce.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Do you mind turning off the radio?